together. Good to have this opportunity to remind ourselves of some truths and probably learn some things or think about some things that we had not thought about. I'd like to think this morning about Emmanuel, God with us. Now, when we start to think about God with us, and we think about Christmas, we get all these warm, fuzzy feelings thinking about the baby in the manger. But there is so much more here that I think we need to stop and think about. I want to just read the scriptures there on the right, starting with Isaiah 7:14, where he says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then verse 8, "And he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach over to the neck, and the stretching out of the wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel." Then over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, this is the fulfillment of those prophecies. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now, I want to relate that to what Jesus talks about or read from Isaiah, Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And then Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus is reading this scripture, and you'll notice that he doesn't read all of it. He reads part of it. But I want us to pay attention here. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he goes on to say, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So I want us to think a little bit about this concept of God with us. Why is this whole thing so important to us? Why is it important for God to be with us? And why did God choose to be with us? Might be some questions that we would want to think about. So why do you think it's important for God to be with us? From God's perspective, we know from our perspective we need him. But from his perspective, why is it important for him to be with us? Okay, to communicate with us. He loves us. He wants to be with us. All right? So, how is God with us? I'm gonna help us to understand this, and I'm going to do it like this, okay? So I'm a homeless guy, and I'm sitting on a park bench. And a group of you are out Christmas caroling, and you come, and you sing some carols for me. Now, you're with me, right? But are you with me? So, one of you sits down here on the bench beside me and talk for a little while and maybe you try to hear my heart, get into my head a little bit. Are you with me?
Not yet.
Not yet. What else needs to happen? Oh, so if you're going to be with me, you got to be homeless? Not really. What if you come and you sit down with me and you tell me I care about you, you matter to me, I want you to come and live in my house with me? Are we getting closer to being with me? Are you getting the picture? So, Jesus came to earth as a baby for the purpose of God being with us. Now let me ask again, why is it important for God to be with us? Got your thinking caps on? Okay, we belong to Him, and He wants us to come to Him, right? So if I'm a guy in a three-piece suit and I come walking by the guy that's homeless and I toss him $100 and go on my way, have I accomplished anything really? Have I entered into this man's life at all? No, I probably just made myself feel good about trying to connect with homeless, right? So, God is with us in reality. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. Is there any significance to the fact that Jesus came as a baby? Why didn't Jesus just come as a man, a young man? Maybe 18, 20 years old. Actually, why didn't he just come 30 years old and start his ministry and go from there, right? Why do you think? Part of being with us, right? Identifying with us. There's something else here that I think is very, very important. In order for me to help that homeless guy and connect with him, I cannot speak down to him. I have to become vulnerable, right? I have to open myself. In order for any of us to be effective in hearing someone else's heart, in understanding someone else, whether it's our children, whether it's another brother or sister in the church, whoever it is, we have to make ourselves vulnerable. And how much more vulnerable could God be than to come as a baby? Totally helpless. Totally dependent. Totally in need. And so God with us is God becoming very vulnerable. taking a lot of risk. God knew, obviously, what was going to happen, but the potential is there for a lot of difficult things. So why did God choose to reveal himself in the way that he did? Why didn't he come as a middle class person? Why did he come as one who was in the lower class and definitely put himself into the lower class as appearing as an illegitimate child? God with us. You starting to get the picture? We're not going to read Isaiah 53, but Isaiah 53 talks about all of this, how Jesus took on himself all of our junk, and we've talked about that in the past. But I want us to just look at this that Jesus talked about himself, read about himself from Isaiah, and I want us to think about this morning. When Jesus came as he did, he identified himself with the majority of our world. We sit here today and we think life is normal here. Gina, Abigail, James, is life normal here? If you take the picture of the whole world, is life normal here? No, it is not. Our life is not normal for the way our world lives, the majority of our world. A high percentage of our world lives in poverty. How is God going to be with us if he came as a middle-class American, or even a middle-class Jew? God is with us, and I want us to get God's heart here this morning. I want us to feel what God was thinking, what God was feeling, what God was trying to accomplish when, before time began, the Godhead planned and laid out what was going to happen with this whole thing of incarnation, of God with us. God with us. And so, the angel said, this is going to be fulfilled. Call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So let's look at this a little bit. First of all, there when Jesus read the words from Isaiah, he said, you've anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What is the gospel? What did he call it back in Isaiah? You remember what he called it? The good news, the glad tidings? Opportunity. Preach the gospel to the poor. Why do you suppose that God had Isaiah write those words and give us this thought? Preaching the gospel to the poor. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand today if you think that you're poor, but I'd just like to remind you that you're not. You don't have to go very far in our world till you find homeless, till you find people that just put whatever they can find over themselves to cover themselves and survive. So when we're talking about the poor here, we're talking about those that are downtrodden, those that are destitute, those that are helpless, these kind of people. I'd like to suggest something to you. And Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I'd like to suggest to you today that unless you see yourself as poor, the gospel is going to have no meaning for you whatsoever. See, that's part of our problem. Do we fit that definition? Do I see myself as helpless, as powerless? Do I see myself as destitute? Or do I see myself as, I can handle it. I got this. You see, unless we are the poor, then the gospel is not good tidings of great joy. Unless we see ourselves as needy, hopelessly needy. Jesus talked to the young man there in Luke. In chapter 18, verse 24, Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful. And he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God?" It's tough. Why? Because we're not powerless, we're not helpless, we're not destitute. Now, we can have possessions, and we can view ourselves as powerless and helpless and destitute if we keep a right perspective. But Jesus knew and told us that it is immensely difficult. Immensely difficult. And I'll just be vulnerable. I'll just be honest with you guys. I know what it is to have nothing. And I know what it is to have something. And I know how easy it is when you have something to feel a feeling of hope, to feel a feeling of strength, to feel a feeling of, I've got this. So Jesus came to preach the good news to the poor. In 1 Corinthians, Jesus became poor so that for our sakes, so that we could become rich. You see, He's with us. He's with us. And so when we go to wherever in the world and we share the gospel, we can share with purpose and with meaning and with hope because Jesus is with us. He's with each of us. And He brings to all mankind the message of hope, the good news, the glad tidings. He's been anointed for that. He's been given that calling, that responsibility, that hope, that opportunity. Secondly, He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. I would guess that there's a number of people here today that have experienced brokenheartedness. For whatever reason. Maybe you're experiencing it today. This idea of brokenheartedness is the idea of being crushed. Crushed. The Jewish nation at the time when Jesus came was experiencing being crushed. They were under the thumb of the Romans. They were crushed and they were looking for hope. They were looking for healing for their nation. And so it was natural for them to desire Jesus as Messiah to deliver them from the Romans. I'd like to suggest something further here for us, and that is, unless we are brokenhearted, we are not going to experience the healing that Jesus wants to bring us. You see, as long as we can hold it together, as long as we can be strong, we don't need healing, do we? And that was what Jesus ran into with the Pharisees. They didn't need healing. They didn't need help. They didn't need hope. They had it. And I've just been, over the last while, my heart has been broken over and over again as I realize how many, many, many people around us and maybe among us are struggling with brokenheartedness. Brokenheartedness. Their heart's been crushed by abuse, by whatever. Broken relationships, whatever. Gets down and messes with our heart. You know what? Go read Isaiah 53. Jesus is with us. He knows. His heart was broken. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. His heart was broken for you and me. But I want you to know today that just like the person that's poor, helpless, destitute, the good news is there. For you, as a brokenhearted person, there's healing. There's hope. There's beauty. And we can offer that as we share the gospel to others as well. Our world is hurting bad, very badly. And Jesus is with us to heal. He's been sent for that. That's part of why He's with us. To preach deliverance to the captives. That word captives there has the idea of a prisoner of war. I read a book just the other week about a young German boy, 16 years old, that was taken captive by the Russians in the war and taken to Siberia for a couple years till the war came to an end. He was a captive, a prisoner of war, and worked in just horrible conditions in Siberia. I'm guessing I'm talking to some captives today. What are you bound by? Lust? Ignorance? Pride? Fear? Those all treat us as prisoners of war. We do exactly what they say. Jesus came to deliver us. In one sense, Jesus was a captive when he stood before Pilate. In one sense, he was a captive because he did what they said. But in another sense, he was there because he wanted to be there. But I want you to know today that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He is here and he wants to deliver you and me. And I thank him. Oh, I thank him for the deliverance that he's brought into my life. And I cry out, Lord, I need more. I need more. So what are you in bondage to today? He's here to deliver you. There is hope. There is help. There is healing. There is purpose. There is meaning. There is value. To recover sight to the blind. This blindness can be physical or mental. Jesus talked to the Pharisees. He said, "You're blind." If you were blind, if you'd admit that you're blind, you'd be able to see. But you can't see because you say, we're not blind. Part of being able to understand things and to see things is realizing that we do not see everything. I'm talking in spiritual terms. The Pharisees were blind, not because they saw nothing, but their eyes were not open to see what they needed to see. And you and I, if our eyes are not open to see what we need to see, are in blindness. And one of the things we need to see is the heart of the Father for the people of the world. And we see that in God with us. He's here with us because that's His heart. He's not trying to prove a point. He's not trying to just make something happen for us. He is here because humanity, all of humanity, every person on earth is important to Him. He loves us all the same. Jesus healed a number of blind men in a number of different ways. And those men shared the idea with others that Jesus could not have healed them if He was not God. Jesus connected with those men in a way that no one else did. He was with them, and they wanted to be with Him, because they knew that He was with them. When we realize that we all of us, have a certain amount of blindness. All of us. There are none of us that ever get to the place where we see everything. Paul says, now we see through a glass darkly. That's this idea of blindness. It's cloudy. Now we see through a glass that's not real clear. That's all of us. So unless we're willing to admit that, our eyes are not going to be open. Jesus came to be with us, and he came to open our eyes. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Eyes opened. To set at liberty them that are bruised has the idea of being shattered or broken in pieces. In Revelation, the term is used there of shivers, broken to shivers, just tiny, tiny little pieces. The word delivered and the word liberty in this passage are the same word. So he's coming to help those, even though they're talking about Tudor, the brokenhearted and the bruised and the captives. The word deliverance is to the captives, and the word liberty is to the bruised. But they're the same word, that he's bringing the same thing to these two different groups of people. Has life been tough? Are you feeling bruised? Are you feeling shattered? Jesus came to be with you, to bring you liberty. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I'd just like to remind you of something. If Jesus is with you, there is nothing. There is nothing that can keep you in bondage. There is nothing. You can be full of joy, and you can be full of the presence of God. And if you go back into Isaiah, he talks about that. Putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Putting on the oil of gladness, of joy. Because God is with us. So even though we've been bruised to the point of being shattered or broken in shivers, in tiny pieces, Jesus can set us free. He's come to be with us. And then he says, last of all, to preach the year of God's favor. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You and I have the opportunity of coming into the presence of God because God came to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. As I've been meditating this Christmas season, this has become so beautiful to me. And I trust that the Lord takes this and impresses it on your heart this morning as well. Through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, we are able to put on the garment of praise. We are able to put on and have ourselves anointed with the oil of gladness. And I'm wondering this morning, where are you? Where are you? Is God with you? Are you with Him? Are you seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ? Are you experiencing His power, His promises, His riches, His blessings, His favor? They're there for you because He's with us. Let's stand together for prayer. And then maybe we could sing that, Lauren, maybe we could sing Put on the Garment of Praise for the Spirit of Heaviness afterwards. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are with us. We thank You, Lord, that in the most difficult circumstances of life, You are with us. We thank You that You've made Yourself vulnerable, that You, Lord Jesus, came as a man. You humbled Yourself. You became a servant. You became poor so that we could become rich. We thank You, Lord, that You have brought the gospel to the poor. And I pray, Lord, that You just continue to go before us. Show us the way, draw us close. Help us, Lord, to appreciate and value Emmanuel, God with us. We bless Your name. You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll just say, if you're struggling this morning, maybe you're feeling bruised or broken or brokenhearted, or maybe you're in bondage and you say, I don't see the way out. I'm happy to help you. More than happy to help you find that way to being in the presence of God.